leadership of Patrick when he was here, and then under Ben when he was here. And so they'll both be in the wedding party, and so we're going to have a good time with that. But he's going to preach to us tonight. Get your Bibles. Amen.
All right. Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis. We're going to be all the way through the Bible this evening. We're going to study the whole Bible. It's going to be different tonight. We're going to do a Bible study, and then at the end we'll have some application from that Bible study. So it's going to be a different type of message. And on the week that Chris gets married, I felt like we just go ahead and preach from a passage of Scripture that would help him. And it'll be... In this passage of Scripture, there's a man that had 12 sons with 4 different women. So I want to be a help to Chris. I'm just joking with Chris. But how many of you know the man in the Bible, 12 sons with 4 different women? Anybody know who I'm talking about? Jacob, yes. Yeah, can you believe that? One of the patriarchs of Israel. Had such a strange, weird family, didn't he? Genesis chapter 30 is where we're going to be this evening. Chris, I'm so proud of you, and I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be in your wedding. I don't like being in weddings, but I'm excited to be in your wedding. We're excited for you. I'm excited for what God's going to do with you and your bride here in this church, in this ministry, in this place, and what he's going to do through you, and very thankful for you. We're praying for you, and we're for you. Genesis chapter 30. Before we jump into Genesis chapter 30, how many of you remember Jacob's brother? What's Jacob's brother's name? Esau. Esau was the what? He was the hunter. All right. How many of you have been hunting before? Anybody ever been hunting? All right. I love hunting. I love eating the spoils of the hunting, right? If you have never been hunting before, you probably go through the grocery store and you hunt your meat there, right? And that's a blessing. I like when I get pizza, I like the dead animals on the pizza. I don't like vegetation. I like the dead animals on the pizza. That's my favorite sacrifice, is a pizza with dead animals on it. Esau and me, I can relate with Esau. Jacob was the cook. He was the one in the kitchen. And Jacob would, we know that Jacob fooled his father and fooled his brother into getting the birthright. And that's how we start out his kind of downward spiral, if you would. He gets away from the house, runs away for his life, and he finds himself with Laban, and in Laban's house and on his property working for him for a bride. And he saw, who did he want to marry? He wanted to marry Rachel. But his father-in-law tricked him, didn't he? Well, that was bad, wasn't it? And gave him who? Leah. Very good. And so Jacob married Leah. And can you imagine when the wedding was done and he realized he married the wrong woman? Chris, don't do that. You might want to check right before you say who you're marrying, okay? Check that. Make sure that's the right one, all right? But he married Leah and then found out it was Leah and not Rachel. And then he went back and he says, no, wait a minute, I wanted Rachel. And he married Rachel too. This is some crazy stuff. It gets crazier. Not only did he marry the wrong, but Leah, her womb was the one that was open. And so 4 sons Leah had before Rachel had one. 4 of them. 4 young men. And if you understand in the Word of God, you understand the Bible times. Boy, when you had a son, that was something. Why is that true? Because that means your heritage can continue. Your name can continue. And so they were excited when they had a boy. And Leah, the tender-eyed one, gave Jacob 4 sons. And then if you read, we started in Genesis chapter 30, verse 1. If you read verse 1, Rachel was upset. She said, I want to have a son or end my life. Well, that didn't happen. She didn't kill herself. She didn't end her life at that time. But she did do something crazy. She gave Jacob her handmaid. And Jacob had a child. Their handmaid had a child for Rachel. Not just one, but two. Leah saw that and said, you know what? Two could play at that game. And Leah gave Jacob her handmaid. I know what you're thinking. I thought my family was crazy. Well, this one's crazy, right? So Jacob has now had four children with Leah. Four children with two handmaids. And now we pick up in verse 14. Look at verse 14. Reuben, who is the oldest son, the firstborn. And Reuben went into the days in the days of the wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field. How many of you know what mandrakes are? They're like the natural love potion. It's weird. They thought it was a natural love potion. That's what they thought of them. All right, so mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said unto Leah, give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. So now we know why Rachel wants them, right? It was, okay, these are like natural love. This is going to bring favor between me and Jacob, right? And so Rachel's like, I want these. Give them to me. Give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. And she said unto her, Is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband? Whoa. Is it not enough you've taken Jacob from me? I married him first. I was his first bride. Is it not enough you took him from me? Wow. And wouldest thou take away my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes. There's prostitution going on now. In their own home. All right, I'll give you the mandrakes. Yeah, I tell you what, I'll give you Jacob in exchange for the mandrakes. She did it. And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes. That's kind of a weird conversation. The wife comes and says, I have traded mandrakes for you. Weird, huh? Crazy stuff going on. And he lay with her that night, and God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob, what is that? The what? Fifth son. And Leah said, God hath given me my hire because I have given my maiden to my husband. And she called his name what? Issachar. Now we're not studying Jacob tonight. We're not studying Leah. We're not studying Rachel. Not the first four boys. We're not studying the last five boys. We're studying this one fifth son tonight. His name is Issachar. Issachar, the donkey in the shadow. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this time that we have in your word. I pray that you help us to understand God's word, your word tonight. Do what I cannot do. In his name I pray. Amen. Issachar was the fifth son. Say the name with me. Ready? Issachar. Try it again. Ready? Issachar. How many of you ever heard that name before? You ever heard of it? How many of this is the first time you're hearing that in the Bible there was a man named Issachar? First time? All right. Very good. Some of you, yes. Very good. All right. I want you to know, it took me a while too. But the fifth son of Jacob is Issachar. And what did she name him? She named him Issachar. Why? What was the meaning of his name? The name what meant the wages or hire, for hire. And what she was saying was, he is worth the price. He was worth the fight. That was the name that was given to Issachar. We see again Issachar again in Genesis chapter 49. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 49. As we're studying this Issachar, we're studying Issachar in Genesis 49. Look at it. Genesis 49. Now what's going on in Genesis 49? Rachel is dead. Jacob is going through his sons and blessing them. He goes to Judah and says, "You're a lion. Dan, you're a wolf. Gad, you're a serpent. Dan, you're a serpent. Gad, you're a wolf." I mean, he's going through these and saying, he's blessing them. And then he comes to Issachar. Look at verse 14. Issachar is a strong ass crouching down between two burdens. Issachar, you're a donkey. You're a donkey. Now, in our society right now, you're like, what in the world is he talking about? But I want you to understand that was a compliment. Now, Issachar being the fifth son, that was not the only son that Leah had that time with Jacob. She also had another son, and they had a daughter. Think about that. So now Issachar is being overshadowed. These are the 12 tribes of Israel. Comes from the 12 sons of Jacob. And they are getting, the 12 tribes get 12 portions of land in the Holy Land. And so Issachar, guess where Issachar gets it? Right below the Sea of Galilee, a little patch of land that has the Valley of Jezreel in there, where all the shadows are, a forgotten piece of property. Who cares about that property? Wasn't a great piece of property. But here Jacob looks down and blesses Issachar and says, "You're going to be a strong donkey. Strength. Strong." How many of you would like to be strong? Not smell. I'm talking about physical strength, right? You want to be strong. Yeah, that's right. I want to be strong. You know what? When you're strong, you know what happens? People call you to help you move their piano and couches and other furniture. You're useful, right? You are useful. And Issachar was useful. Hey, there was a blessing given to Issachar. God blessed him through Jacob. And he was given strength. Isn't that wonderful? Issachar was given strength. Now I want you to go to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles is actually going to be our text. I know it took a long time to get to the text, right? 1 Chronicles chapter 12. If you read in verse 23, you'll see what's going on. Saul is dead. David is becoming king. He is now being placed on the throne. He's being placed, given to the nation of Israel as king. Now, we're looking at verse number 32. I have my different Bible here tonight, and it has it in paragraph form. So I actually have to look through here to try to get there. It is. "And of the children of" who? "Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times." There's a famous phrase right there. Understanding of the times. "And to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment." David is now coming in to be placed in as king. And what is going on is there are jobs for everybody to do in this placement of David. And Issachar is there as a leader, as a strong leader. Why? Because they knew, they understood the times. They understood, it says that they had understanding of the times. What does that mean, Pastor Creed? Here's what they meant, and I want you to understand this. Ready? They understood that God had a plan. There it is. Amen. The whole message tonight is God has a plan. Isn't that good? Amen. God has a plan. In fact, the number one point tonight is God has a plan. God has a plan. Isn't that wonderful? God had a plan for David. How many of you understand? Through the line of David, we get a spotless lamb. Through the line of David, through the lineage of David, we understand Jesus Christ is going to come and be born of a virgin and live 33 years and die on the cross and be buried and raised again bodily. We understand that, right? Why? Because God has a plan. We know that. I want you to see something. Look at verse number 32 again. I can see up there. And the children of who? Issachar. Did it say Issachar?
Yes, sir.
It didn't say Issachar. It said the children of Issachar. Right? It did say Issachar, but it said the children of Issachar. It wasn't Issachar himself. It was his children. Watch this. Are you ready? God's plan is bigger than you. Now, there was a plan before Issachar. There's a plan after Issachar. Amen? Issachar was not there, was not the one that was there. It was the children of Issachar. But Issachar, he was a father, he was a grandfather who taught his children how to understand what was going on. He wanted to make sure that his children and the generation after him and the generation to come learned of what was going on and the times. They knew the importance of David being on the throne.
Amen.
Because they knew that God has a plan, that God had a plan. And what a blessing that is in our life. No matter what we're going through, no matter what's happening in your life, know that God has a plan and that plan is bigger than you. Sometimes we feel like we're bigger than the plan, don't we? Sometimes we think, I got it, it's under control. I can take this, I can do this, I can. But let me tell you something, we make plans, don't we?
Yeah.
They don't always come true, do they?
No.
It rains out, something else happens, and when you have children, you realize the plans always don't come true. Throw up. Fill diapers. Stain shirts. I remember the time we were at Olin Mills and we were getting family pictures and I was just a kid. I was just a child. And I remember we began to fight. We began to bicker and I believe there was blood or something got on my brother's shirt. My father hadn't even made it to the place yet, and we were on our way home without even getting pictures because our whole outfits were ruined. We had planned something, but it didn't work out, did it? And let me tell you something. God has a plan, and He will follow through with His plan. In fact, I'm excited about God's plan.
Amen.
Because one day, God has promised that He will return.
Amen.
That Jesus is coming and we're going to meet Him in the clouds. The rapture is the next event on God's calendar. I'm excited about that. I don't have to worry about who the Antichrist is because I'm looking for the Christ.
Amen.
Why? Because Jesus is coming again. I know God has a plan. God has a plan. And I want you to know this. Number two, God has a plan. God has a purpose for you in His plan. God has a purpose for every raindrop falling to the ground today. Can you fathom that? Can you think about that? How God knows every hair on your head, which is easier for some than others. But for it is hard to fathom. Wow, someone could know and count every hair on my head. The Bible tells us that God knows that. How many young people know how many hair you have on your head? Have you counted those before? Here's what I want you to do. Go home when you're laying in bed and you're about to go to sleep. I want you to start counting your hair. Tell us what number you get. I want you to tell that. Give that to Mr. Chris or Pastor Creed on Sunday. How many pieces of hair do you have on your head? Okay. God knows that. God knows. The Bible says this. Are you ready? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know what that tells me? God made us for a purpose. God created you for a purpose. When you walk in that door on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, tonight, you walk through with a purpose knowing that you're part of a church, a local New Testament church, here for a purpose that God wants to use you in His plan. Isn't that wonderful to know? That we serve God and God has a purpose, a plan for us. I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 with me. This is just an Issachar, the fifth son. We don't hear him talking. We don't hear a word out of him. We don't know what he looks like. We know that he was given strength. The blessing that he was given was strength. He was born in a crazy family, in a crazy situation. And even in that crazy situation, he was only the first one born. There was somebody right on his heels. And then, how many of you know when there's a daughter born, all the spotlight goes off of you and onto the girl, right? How many of you have a sister? Yes, you know that, right? Okay, how many of you have a youngest and you're not the youngest child? Yes, the youngest, they're always spoiled, aren't they? Amen. When you go to see my brother Ben, yeah, he's the spoiled one. All right? He's mama's boy. Issachar was not the youngest. He was not the spoiled. He was just there. Just there. You ever felt like that? I'm just in a rut. I'm just here. Just here and there, going to work, coming home. It just seems like life doesn't have a purpose anymore. Who am I? I have no impact. There's nothing I can... What am I doing in life? What am I worth in life? Can I tell you, God has a purpose for you in His plan? Listen to what He says in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. I want to go to verse number 27. But God hath chosen the what? The foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why is that? Why does God use the weak? Why does God use the lowly? James chapter 4, verse 6, He resisteth the proud, but He brings grace to the what? To the humble. Right? Why does He do that? Verse 29. That no flesh should glory in His presence. God used Issachar in a great way. Why is that? For His glory. God has a purpose for you and His plan. Why is that? So that He can get the glory. Not for us to get the glory, but for God to get the glory. I want to wrap this up at the center of God's plan. Number one, God has a plan. It's bigger than us. And it's before us. It's after us. God has a plan. Number two, God has a purpose for us in His plan. And number three, at the center of God's plan is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. At the very center of God's plan is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How many of you know? How many of you understand that Jesus Christ was coming at this time? They were thinking about this. In fact, the prophecy, the first prophecy happened in Genesis chapter 3. Right? Genesis chapter 3. I'll bruise your head, Satan. Right? I'm going to bruise your head. How is he going to bruise his head? Jesus Christ is going to come and die on the cross. There's a prophecy there. Jesus was coming. When we read the Bible, at the center of God's Word is Jesus Christ. You can't read God's Word without it going to Christ, without Christ coming up, without Jesus being the central focal point of God's Word. And by the way, if our life is in God's Word, then the center part, focal point of our life is Jesus Christ. It ought to be. Our purpose in life should be going to Jesus, our relationship, our walk with Jesus Christ. What a blessing this is to know that there's a donkey. There's a donkey in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. The children of Issachar is walking David to his throne. I remember Palm Sunday. Amen. What happened? What was Jesus riding on? A donkey. What a great picture to Jesus Christ. When the children of Issachar, the children of the donkey, was riding the King David to his throne. And then thousands of years later, we see Jesus Christ riding on a strong donkey. The strength of that donkey. The strong donkey. Why? Because the focal point of the Scriptures is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Focal point of our life should be Jesus Christ. We ought to be sensitive to what He wants for our life. Our hearts should beat for what Jesus Christ wants for our life. I think of two men walking down the street in New York City. How many of you ever walked in the street of New York City before? During rush hour. How many of you done that? Boy, it's loud. Cars going by, horns honking. These two men were walking down the street one time. And a man stopped the other man. They were friends. And they said, do you hear that? And the guy said, no, I don't hear. What are you talking about? There's all kinds of noises. Which one are you talking about? They said, do you hear that cricket? And the man looked at him and said, no, I don't hear a cricket. I hear cars. I hear horns. I hear all this going on. I do not hear. How do you hear a cricket in all this? And the naturalist bent down, picked up a rock, and right beside that rock in the curb was a cricket that hopped away. He said, there it is. There's that cricket. And the man looked at him dumbfounded and said, what in the world? How did you hear that cricket? He pulled out a quarter and said, let me show you. On the busy sidewalk, he dropped that quarter amongst all that noise. That quarter hit that ground, tink, 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 tink. And everybody around started looking in their pocket, making sure it wasn't their quarter that dropped. And the man, the naturalist, said, you see, you will hear what you're listening for. You will hear what you're listening for. And when our focal point is God's Word in Jesus Christ, well, you'll hear Him. God will direct you. God will put you right in His purpose and His plan, because God has a plan. God has a purpose for us in His plan. And at the center of that is Jesus Christ. Are you listening? Are you praying? Are you reading? Are you studying? Are you getting alone with Christ to hear from Him? Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, we love You. Thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You so much for understanding of who You are. Preacher, bless us tonight as we give our life to hear You, to listen to You and what You have for us. Pastor.
Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. God spoke to your heart. You want to get alone with Him. God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you. Sometimes we look at each other or look at ourselves. We think, well, there's no plan for me. And God has a plan. You may be here tonight and you're saying, I'm trying to figure out God's plan because one day it's this and next day it's that. That's the way it is sometimes, amen. You just don't know what's going to happen. But God is true and He's faithful. And He has our best at His heart. Thank you, BC. Let's have a couple ushers come. Is Brother Arnold still sick? Still not feeling good? Have you talked to Brother Arnold? So, I know Miss Marilyn must be still feeling bad. I think our ushers ought to wear jumpsuits. What do you think? I think it looks pretty sharp. Green jumpsuits with dollar signs on them. Amen. Pray for us, Tim.
Lord, we just thank You. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for the message, Lord, You used Pastor Pat to preach. Now we just pray that You bless this offering, Lord, and this may be used to Your glory and Your honor. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank You. Well, good to see you tonight. We have a good number of young people in here tonight. I want to thank you, young people. You are so well behaved. I appreciate it. Patrick? How you doing, Patrick? You doing okay? Amen. Good to see these young people here tonight. Well, let's pray. Rest of the week. Hump day. I know some of you are tired. Get a good rest tonight for tomorrow. And let's pray for each other. Wedding is on Saturday. What time's that wedding? 2 o'clock. I ought to make sure I know what time it is. Amen. And let's continue. Let's continue to pray for each other. What's? Oh, there's an inside joke. I'll have to get that later. Let's stand to be dismissed. Pray for Miss Dawn as she's sitting vigil with Miss Jane. And that's not easy. Very possibly she may sit there while she goes into eternity. I've come to understand and think that a lot of times when people are laying there, sometimes they're already gone. Just the body breathing its last breath. You've seen that before. And so it's incredible. Well, let's stand. Let's pray. And Chris, pray for us.